Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Due to tonight's Jets game, we will now proceed with a best of show. Let's look back at the time when Jason Smith and Mike Harmon first met and listen to their very first show instead of a new show that details what's happening in the Monday night game. We take you back to January 6th, 2014.
Who are you?
Jets, yo! So that's my day. How was your day? Huh? Was your day any better?
Yeah, Bears.
Not your game. Day. I mean, everybody, well.
Oh, you meant America.
No,
I thought we were having witty banter off the top.
No. Well,
that's what it said in the notes for the show. Witty banter.
Witty banter off the top.
Yeah.
Witty banter off the top.
That's what I named my horse. Witty banter.
This is what I mean when I say sometimes I exist, my life exists, so you can feel better about yours. Because even if you're a Steelers fan, you are saying, boy, we didn't have as bad a day as the Jets are having.
Rudolph looked pretty good. At least, get a little bit excited.
We're losing all. At least it didn't happen to us on national television. My goodness, is this embarrassing for the Jets.
They suck.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
What do you got, Golden Headphones?
And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, Jets wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, hamstring injury, out for the rest of the game.
Well, he hasn't practiced at all, so why were they trying to throw the ball to him anyway?
Because they're the Jets.
Running bad routes and confused and, yeah.
So here's the Monday night game in a nutshell right now. All right, let me give you the Monday night game in a nutshell, and then we can proceed with why I really am ready to turn the page on Adam Gase. Six quarters into the season. Cleveland leads the Jets 16-3 early in the third quarter. How did the game go for the Jets tonight? Odell Beckham had a great one-handed catch down the sideline to lead to a Browns field goal. The Browns kicked another field goal. The Jets had minus 12 yards of offense in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Second quarter, Trevor Siemian gets sacked. What looks like a really ugly ankle injury. He comes out, and Luke Falk comes in, the guy best known now as, the guy who predated Gardner Minshew.
Never heard of
at Washington State. Boy, I wish the Jets had Gardner Minshew, they would be awesome. No, we have the wrong Washington State guy playing quarterback for us. Oh, by the way, Luke Falk is on the active roster. How did he get on the active roster? Because the Jets wished happy birthday to a player from their social media account today and then cut him so they could put Luke Falk on the active roster. So, hey, happy birthday. Oh, by the way, you're cut.
Well, he had to see that coming, didn't he?
It's the Jets. You never know. Anything can come.
Yeah, they still wished him a nice happy birthday.
Anything.
Man, that's pretty good. You also forgot, during the broadcast, they actually called Trevor Siemian's injury a, quote, apparent leg injury, mm-hmm. as he walked and kind of hopped on one leg back to the locker room.
Yeah, it was rough. The Jets have minus 15 yards passing right now. Minus 15 yards passing. And they are 12:49 left to go in the third quarter. They have 45 yards of offense total. Mm-hmm. This is a complete blank show. This is a complete and utter blank show.
Defense has played
for the
well.
Jets. They've played as well as you can. They forced Baker Mayfield to have to throw the ball high, get rid of it when he doesn't want to. But in the end, when you keep going three and out, and you can't cover anybody, it doesn't matter. The Jets, oh, by the way, have their $72 million cornerback, Trumaine Johnson, not playing in the game tonight. Why? Because he stinks. He was the guy that the Jets paid, and then he proceeded to say, you know what? I'm done. He was awful week one, so he's not playing tonight because he stinks. So a guy the Jets said, we're going to give you $72 million, and he is sitting on the bench. Then at the end of the first half, when the Jets are down 13-3, they have the ball deep in their own end. They have a chance to call three running plays, punt it back to the Browns, who would get the ball at midfield with about 5 seconds left in the half. All they'd have time for is a Hail Mary. Did the Jets do that? No, they're the Jets. They decide to throw the football. And what happens? One of their wide receivers drops an easy pass. Mm-hmm. So now the clock stops. The Jets have to punt the ball back to the Browns with time remaining. And the Browns are able to get down to the 25-yard line, kick a field goal, and go up 16-3. Adam Gase, I'm done with him. It's six quarters in. I'm done. What happened to the offense? What happened to the creativity? What happened to the offensive genius he was?
Well, Le'Veon Bell did take a direct snap at one point.
He's the best guy they have.
And handed it off to Ty Montgomery. How about that?
At some point, you got a coach. You have to realize that, okay, yes, we don't have our quarterback. We're playing without players. But you got to coach your ass off, man. And I don't know what they were trying to do at the end. Do you really? Luke Falk is going to take him 90 yards for a field goal in the final 45 seconds when the guy's taking all of six snaps in the NFL? That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. Why are you throwing the ball and giving the Browns a chance for three more points? Jets football.
Now, as we've gone through now almost 2 weeks of NFL football, two things stand out. Kickers play. I mean, the third is the obvious, just quarterbacks besieged by injuries, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the other is, I don't know that these five guys from the Jets lining up to play as an offensive line had ever met each other.
Oh, they're terrible.
Before tonight.
They're terrible.
They're looking around like, all right, are you in the right stance? Are you in where you're going to be?
They're terrible.
And after every play, it was all right, let's go through our assignments again. Who are we supposed to pick up? And they're just dancing into the backfield. Like, you and I, we watch our daughters play youth soccer. And you have those teams that play against you that they're going to try to just be offsides all the time and force the referee to call it, right? Mm. Always flying on the edges. That's kind of what the Browns have done defensively tonight. We're going to try to get off the ball really quick because we know your offensive line's terrible. You're not going to react well enough. And either Simeon, when he was in, or now with Falk, they're going to be scattered and make a bad decision. So what you're seeing is just getting off to the races quickly. So even in their best efforts, the Jets' offensive line have no chance. But they're so confused time and time again. It's just been a train wreck this entire night. The fact that it's only 16-3 is amazing.
The second play of the game, Myles Garrett comes in unblocked. The best defensive player on the Browns comes in unblocked. That was a sign that this is just not going to get any better. Oh, look, the Jets' defense has played pretty well. I mean, I got to give him credit. I give Greg Williams a lot of credit. But now there's this part of it, too, is that Myles Garrett tonight has been flagged twice for unnecessary roughness, roughing the passer. The second one resulting in the injury that knocked Trevor Siemian out of the game.
Now, season, probably.
Now, yeah, who knows? Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's walking is amazing, so I don't want to say anything while the guy's actually walking. But how much of it is, you know what, Greg Williams wanted to go back and forth, which I said was a smart move, right? Keep the pressure off of Trevor Siemian to start. But now you wonder, boy, did they just really go after the Jets even more because of Greg Williams' word, the war of words, they're trying to injure me? And some of those hits were pretty dirty in the first half.
Well, and that second one from Garrett, I mean, that's a couple steps after the ball's gone.
He took two huge steps.
And landed directly full body on top of him.
I can't believe he's still in the game.
Mike Pereira's going to join us a little bit later. That's one of the questions that has to be asked. We're talking about roughing the passer. Obviously, the Bears and Denver finish there is that's a lot of the talk. But here, how many do you get to have on a quarterback before you're sent off? I mean, I know there's no yellow card, red card situation.
How'd be great to see the referee sold the yellow card to Myles Garrett.
But you, the first one, okay, fine. You make the call, you got one. Second one, it's a couple of steps and the full body over the top. And unfortunately for Siemian, we're talking about a leg injury. Even if he's walking off and limping off to the locker room, you're probably still talking about significant damage that gets done. But yeah, just teeing off of the Greg Williams, Odell Beckham Jr. You saw Jets players, whenever they got a chance, second, third man in on Odell Beckham Jr. as he got towards the ground off his couple of receptions. And so we'll see how the second half progresses. But it's gonna get even chippier, I believe, before this thing's done.
Remember, I exist sometimes just to make you feel good about yourself and your team.
I'm pretty good.
I'm like, I just exist to be one of those self-help guys. I don't need to do anything.
Why don't you write a book off that?
All you do is look at the guy and go, Jason Smith. Oh, is he just going to talk and talk and talk and talk? No, he's a Jets fan. Oh wow, I feel so much better about my life.
I got an idea for a book now.
I feel so much better right now.
We just take stills of you while you watch the Jets, Mets, or Knicks.
It's a coffee table book.
And it's a coffee table book. Feel Better About Yourself by Jason Smith.
He's wearing the same shirt on page 3, page 9, page 14, 16, and 17. Let's bring it back on 81 and 82, 104, 105, 106.
That has the same coffee stain on it that we had earlier. So, yeah. And look, and there's more mustard on his shirt. It's like, does he bother to wash it? No. The misery is complete. Oh boy. Just awful. More flags on the field again as they get rolling for their next possession of ineptitude.
This is just, look, realize if you don't feel good, if something is wrong in your life right now, you have something that ails you. All right? You got something that ails you. You don't know what it is. Number one, I'll tell you, watch Dead Like Me.
It was good.
Because I'm about halfway through it. It's awesome so far.
They just started season two filming.
I know. It's awesome so far. So that's my television cure for what ails you.
Yep.
Watch Dead Like Me. Watch the Jets. Watch the Jets and you'll realize, wow, I really don't have problems.
Well, unless you're a Dolphin
I really
fan.
Don't have problems.
I mean, because they're better than the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are saying, we're tanking for Tua. This is supposed to be, the Jets are supposed to be good. This is supposed to be their season. And now it looks like, what? We could be tanking for Tua. Really, at this point, I'm thinking, who do we draft? Who can we draft? And what guy?
You're going to be dreaming about that every
night. Depending how high we pick, what quarterbacks are okay to take at number three or number four?
All of a sudden, you're an advanced college scout.
What do you got, Golden Advice?
That Jets-Dolphins game coming up in a couple weeks just got so much hotter.
Oh, you know what the over-under is on that game? 9.
As many passing yards as he have tonight?
Minus 14.
Is that good?
Yeah. And Falk just took another sack. Myles Garrett, his third.
What's the Frostburg? So let me ask you this. I have a question. Now, what's the greater number, Jets offensive yards tonight or Austin Ekeler fumbles?
Hey, I blame the nuns, okay? It's their fault.
Browns lead the Jets 16-3, and the Jets could play this game for a week, and they may not get to 16 points. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. I am here to help you feel better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
With us on the line now, we have so many things to get to, and of course, we have some stuff from this unfortunate Jets game. Mike Pereira, who is taking it easy, and Mike, I got to tell you, as whatever you're doing, it's better than what I'm doing right now, because at least you're not a Jets fan, so you have that going for you.
Well, I am not a Jets fan, but it's hard being a football fan and watching what's going on TV. If it wasn't for a cocktail watching the game, it would be unbearable, as a matter of fact. Man.
Mike just said he felt sorry for us.
That's
Jason.
Good. I dig that. All right, so let's start here, Mike. And listen, we'll play the NFL rules drinking game. Every time I say penalty, let's start with tonight's game, because this is what's gotten a lot of attention. Odell Beckham Jr. has to come out of the game because his helmet is tinted in a way that hasn't been allowed in the NFL in a long time. Now, I get that he has to come out, but isn't this something that you notice pregame that you see and not like when he's in the red zone and the Browns are going for a score?
Well, here's what I mean, and I don't know this for sure, but I would be 99% sure. You know, officials don't worry about that stuff. I mean, they have uniformed police that are on site there. Each team has their own representative that looks at the uniforms. I assure you that call came from New York. That they noticed it from New York and said, hey, you got to get him out of there because it's a tinted, you know, eye shield. And that other has to be approved by the doctors beforehand. You know, the whole notion with tinted eye shields, they're illegal because, you know, in day and age, the days we're in now with concussions, you want to be able to see through the eye shield. And that's why they have to be clear unless there's a medical reason for that. But I promise you that New York in their operations center on Park Avenue noticed it, and they called to the stadium, and then it was called down to the officials who had him go. I mean, pretty much common sense. You ought to know if you're going to wear a tinted eye shield, you got to get permission first, and I think that was the breakdown. But it wasn't the officials that they probably would have just gone the whole way, assuming that maybe it was approved. Maybe there was a medical reason for it, but that obviously was not the case.
Instead, out on the red zone. Now, going back to yesterday afternoon's game, Mike, Bradley Chubb and the smush of Mitchell Trubisky heard around the world. Eventually, Pinheiro gets the game-winning field goal, but roughing the passer in everybody's eyesight, certainly during this game tonight here between the Jets and Browns as well. The Bradley Chubb decision call, I guess the judge's decision.
I like smush.
You like that?
I like that.
Thanks.
I like smush. It was nothing more than a smush. It wasn't like, for example, what you saw tonight with Miles Jack twice, where he drove the quarterback into the ground when he could have let up or could have at least attempted to let up. I mean, the Bradley Chubb hit was a smush and not a foul. You know, you're dealing with seven new referees, four last year, three this year, and it is a tough call to make, and it takes a lot of time to try to develop some consistency in that call. And there was one of your new guys working only his second game, and I did see him in the preseason, this referee, Adrian Hill, and I think he's going to be an outstanding referee. And in the preseason, I mean, he called three roughing the passer calls, which I thought were all good ones. It was in the Miami game in week three that I happened to be at. And so I had a lot of confidence going in, but I think sometimes when you're new and you make a couple of good ones, then you tend to maybe get a little technical. But, you know, we just hope, and Dean Blandino and I talked about it today, that the league is not reverting back to last year, when we had all of this landing on top of the quarterback with all your body weight, and they finally had to change their approach in week three of the regular season last year. And, you know, I don't think it's the case. I think it's more of the new referees, but, you know, that just wasn't strong enough to be a foul, that's for sure.
You know, and I get to tonight, not that it matters for the game because it's the Jets, but after that second roughing the passer penalty on Myles Garrett, who took a full two steps and hits Trevor Siemian, injures him, I'm surprised he was still in the game after that, because that second foul was pretty egregious.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were saying that's two and you should be out by rule, but the two and you're out by rule are not for personal fouls. They're for taunting acts. And, you know, disqualification is a big thing in the league when you're dealing with 46 active players only. It's not like college football and their targeting rule where there's automatic ejections. Hell, you might have 100 guys on the sidelines, but I would agree with you that it was a real vicious hit, but it's not the nature of the one. You know, if it's driving the helmet, the illegal use of the helmet, you know, that's the one that mostly is going to draw the disqualification. But, you know, to me, this was vicious. This was, I mean, in both instances is what they're looking for in driving the quarterback into the ground. And at least both of those were called, but, you know, you would think sometimes when you look at game control, I mean, you haven't got a lot of reaction, you know, really from the Jets in terms of, you know, squabbles. There was early in the game, there was some, but, you know, there hasn't been much of a reaction even after both of those.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you here from the Geico Studio. On the hotline with us, rules analyst for Fox Sports, former VP of officiating, our buddy Mike Pereira joins us each week. At Mike Pereira is where you find him on Twitter. You also find Last Call with he and Dean Blandino discussing all the big plays, the controversies of the week. And, well, we have to end where we ended last year. Rams and Saints, once again, Jared Goff goes back, the incompletion ruled, Jordan picks it up, sprints to daylight, but down there, reversed in a fumble. You got to swallow the whistle, right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to blow the whistle if you're 100% sure that it's a pass, then go ahead and blow the whistle. But any element of doubt, let it go. You can always come back, rule it a fumble, turn it into a forward pass. But honestly, in all my time in officiating and certainly all my time involved with the league, the NFL, and with Fox, I have never seen three consecutive games like this for the Saints, which they basically have gotten screwed on. And, you know, it's just incredible to me, like this dark cloud is over the Saints and also the guys in the stripes that are officiating the games. You know, that was a huge mistake. Forget the final score yesterday. That was a momentum changer and one that referee Walt Anderson, who is a senior referee, I mean, he's going to look at that and be sick and wonder to himself, what did I see to lead me to think that the arm was going forward or the hand was going forward with control? But, you know, clearly an incorrect call, that's for darn sure.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Pereira. That is at Mike Pereira, former VP of officiating in the NFL, current rules analyst at Fox, friend of the show. Mike, as always, appreciate you stopping by with us. And enjoy the rest of your night. And you know what? If this game gets worse, you got to start sending me wine every week for the Jets.
I might not have any left over, to tell you the truth, after this game.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
See ya, Mike.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We told you about the Minka Fitzpatrick trade. The Steelers somehow giving up a first-round pick for the disgruntled cornerback of the Miami Dolphins. Who could be next? Jalen Ramsey, who now wants out of Jacksonville after getting into it with Doug Marrone yesterday during the game a couple of times. Ramsey was upset that Doug Marrone didn't challenge an incomplete pass that he thought was incomplete early in the first quarter. They got into it a little bit off the sideline. Then he went over to yell at him again while he was sitting down, and two defensive backs stood up and told Doug Marrone to leave and go back to coaching the game. Now Jalen Ramsey wants out. He wants out. He wants the Jaguars to trade him, and this is new news in the past couple hours. There's two things to take away from this. Number one is that, boy, if you really want Jalen Ramsey, this guy's really talented, but he has been a headache since day one. He has been an absolute headache since his rookie season in Jacksonville. So you are signing up for a lot of baggage if you want him. And that's I don't know that I could say yes, go give up a high first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey, because the price just went up. If you can get a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick, now the price just went way up for Jalen Ramsey. The guy's a lunatic. I can't say I'm ready to give up, because he wants to get paid as well. So I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be stuck in Jacksonville.
Second or third round pick from New England.
I can't believe New England didn't give up a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Nah,
but the other part of it
for
is
the
this.
Bargain down the road.
Yeah, they're waiting for the Steelers to drop them.
The other part is this. Doug Marrone will be the first head coach fired this year, because just the fact that you saw him go over to yell at Jalen Ramsey and his fellow defensive backs yell and point him to go back to coaching. I mean, reason guys get fired midseason is only because of mutiny. If you're having a bad year, no one's going to fire a head coach as long as the team is showing up and they're playing well. I mean, look, that's just how it goes. But when you have mutiny, you need a new head coach. And Doug Marrone, clearly there is a mutiny coming in Jacksonville. When you talk about Jalen Ramsey wanting out, plus running the ball with Leonard Fournette on the two-point conversion yesterday instead of throwing it when Gardner Minshew had just led the Jaguars down the field into what would have been a game-tying score. And the thing that gets me about that play call is not that it got stopped, but the Texans were waiting for it. I mean, the fact that it's Minshew, 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 Minshew down the field, and they spread everybody wide, and they still stop Leonard Fournette on the one-yard line, I mean, that tells you the Texans were waiting for that play. So that's another bad play, a bad play call by Doug Marrone. He'll be the first guy fired.
Well, it's enough to lose your locker room, and what do we always say in all sports? Stars win, right? Managers, coaches, except in college football and college basketball, they come and go. You're hired to be fired. It's just a matter of what your duration is. And in this case, Jalen Ramsey, whatever you might think of the guy, and I still think he did a really bad job when he's asking for more money with that Brinks truck and only having like five people there. Bad hype man. But he's arguably, what, top three cover corner, if not the best, going in the NFL. There should be demand for his services, and maybe you get him as a distressed property because things are sinking in Jacksonville.
Well, after what happened to the Jets tonight, I can't say sinking money into a DB that just wants to get paid is a good idea.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two other teams had their seasons irreparably changed, and the NFL season as we know it changed immensely with Ben Roethlisberger out for the season with an elbow injury and Drew Brees missing at least the next 6 weeks with a thumb injury. So let's deal with Ben Roethlisberger first. Are the Steelers screwed without Roethlisberger? I think they'll be okay. They make the trade tonight for Minka Fitzpatrick, and that will help them in their defensive issues. But is it going to be enough to get to the playoffs? They've already started 0-2. I get that they like Mason Rudolph, and he came in with a spark, and Roethlisberger had played terrible. But here's the thing. If you're excited about Mason Rudolph, you don't know about this guy. He's a second-round pick. You know, you need to make sure, how are we going to get our next quarterback if Roethlisberger is done? Because he will come back next year because he's owed too much money. So but they can get out of his deal after 2020. So he'll come back next year, but you have to get that next quarterback. And is Mason Rudolph fit? You don't know. Is it worth it that Mason Rudolph plays okay and you win 5 or 6 games? Or should you just tank like the Dolphins and say, well, you know what? Next year, when it is rich in quarterbacks coming out of college football, hey, we're going to go get one of those guys, whether it's Tua or Fromm or Hurts or Herbert. We have to get one of those guys. If I was the Steelers, I'd say, you know, forget about that. It's time to tank. It's time to tank and say this. We got to go get our quarterback now, because Roethlisberger could be done.
It's tough, though, in that there are only 4 teams that started 2-0 in the AFC. Want to run through them real quick? I think you know 2 of them. You got KC. You got New England. You got Baltimore, so obviously you're chasing. And then there's the Bills.
Yeah.
So we'll put the Bills off to the side for a moment, but you will be fighting them for a wild card game. Why? Because they're in the division with the Dolphins and the Jets. Mm-hmm. So potential that you have there. But you still have a lot of talent on that team, right? And you're bringing Fitzpatrick in, not necessarily for this year, but still thinking Ben Roethlisberger's not done. Even if he did struggle the first 6 quarters, the idea that you can still build the roster that when he's ready for whatever week it is in 2020, that you can make one more last run with him as the trigger man, I guess, is what they're saying here. And you bring in a guy like Fitzpatrick, who's probably the equivalent of what, a mid-first-round pick, which is probably where you're going to be, because you're not going to be awful. Because even look at the next 6 games.
No, like say in the last 14 games you go 6-8 or 7-7. Is that worth it to go 7-9?
Right, but how much, even if you don't make that trade, how much worse off are you?
You have Roethlisberger, and then you have your next quarterback.
Right, but
Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert.
But you might not be that bad. That's the thing, is you don't know. I mean, relative to the talent that they have, is still better than a lot of teams are going to play, even if you don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah, but you need a quarterback to succeed in the end. You're not going to win without a franchise guy. You have your chance.
When you're talking about a franchise quarterback,
you got to go get him. You know, you have a chance to get
him.
But
saying, hey, we're giving
him.
Up on the final 14 weeks of the season after an 0-2 start.
You know how many teams are giving up? The Dolphins gave up before the season started.
They're in a unique situation. They didn't have a lot of talent to begin with. Right here, you're still looking at skill positions. And for the Steelers, you look at their schedule in the next 6. At San Francisco, then Cincinnati at home, Baltimore at home, Chargers here in L.A., and then Miami and Indianapolis. You can still win 4 of those 6 games.
You could, but you're already 0-2. You've already started poorly.
But even with Mason Rudolph, you're going to win.
Mason Rudolph certainly was a bit of a spark.
He may go 6-0. You don't know.
He could go 0-6, and then
absolutely right.
Now, but I think they're good enough to win a few games. I'm not as worried about the Saints, because I think with Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, Sean Payton will finally get his due as the offensive genius that he is, and the Saints will stay afloat until he gets back. Even if they're 3-5 when Breeze gets back, I think that's okay, and they can easily win a couple of their next games. All they got to do is go .500 without Breeze, and I think they'll be okay.
Could be possible. I'm curious to see what Teddy Bridgewater is, though.
Yeah.
Why, as everybody says, look how young he was, and he was in the playoffs. That's a long time ago. We've had a lot of quarterbacks cycle through this NFL since Teddy Bridgewater was a playoff quarterback.
It's a long time ago.
It is. So, is he the same guy? Can that offense run? I'm not so sure.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. JF, I asked you to tell me, to bring me some good news about the Jets. I wonder what you would say to me.
I'd say that game is over, and I'm going to get to bed before midnight tonight, so that's good news for me.
For the win.
That game came in about 3 hours, so that's a win.
Look, obviously tonight was a night where the Browns win this game. The Jets show they have so many issues, and it's just it's stunning just to see a season go from, hey, we had said this was – to see when you have so much promise, whether you are the Steelers, whether you are the Saints, and in a blink, for various reasons, it just goes away. Because now the Jets season's over after tonight.
Well, I mean, look, the Jets are in a tough spot. The early schedule was always going to be a bear, and you take Sam Darnold out of the equation, and Quincy's out for the year, and a few, C.J. Mosley. had a great half, you know, he had a great half when he was out there week one, but, you know, now he's out of the mix, and they're not a very deep team to begin with, so you start taking away guys like that, it's going to get ugly. You get down to your third-string quarterback in your second game of the year, it's probably not a recipe for success. They've certainly got their share of issues, no doubt about it. But, you know, on the bright side, 3-4 weeks from now, Sam Darnold could be back. The schedule does let up some, and we'll see. You know, look, they're not going anywhere, obviously, but at this point, I think that's fair to say. But, you know, we'll see if they can finish better than they started. The other two teams you mentioned, I wouldn't write either one off yet. I really wouldn't. The Saints are in a better position than the Steelers because they have a better record, and their quarterback is going to play this year at some point, and they've got a backup who has, you know, he reached the playoffs at a very young age in this league and has kind of seen everything at this point and been through everything, and he's got a brilliant offensive mind and Sean Payton, who knows what he can do and can't do, who I think will coach him up. And the Steelers, look, that offense through six quarters with Ben Roethlisberger was an abject failure. I mean, Ben throwing the wide receivers this year, 20 for 40, 204 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, QB rating of 54.6. They at least got a spark. There was something happening downfield when Mason Rudolph got in the huddle. Now, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. They're going to have to trim the playbook. They're going to have to they better start running the ball well. But, I mean, with what's going on in this, and all these quarterbacks going down and so many injuries, I would not write the Steelers off yet.
Well, I like chaos, Jason, so all of this is fun for me through the end of 2 weeks. Not that I want to see anybody hurt, of course, but certainly uncertainty in the NFL is good. So we're not just, well, except for the fact that it's Patriots and Chiefs. But the Steelers do make a move on defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick, number one choice, and a bunch of other draft picks swap between the two teams. The next guy to get himself out of Miami. Pretty good job by him.
Yeah. He's got the same agent as Khalil Mack. So, you know, Khalil Mack a year ago gets himself out of what turned out to be an absolute abysmal situation in Oakland. He gets to Chicago. He goes to the playoffs. He elevates his profile, and he gets a massive contract. Now, Minkah's not going to get any money because he can't get any money for a while. But you can't even start negotiating a deal until you're 3 full years in the league. So he's got a ways to go for that. But to go from what Miami's going to be, not just this year, but Miami's going to be brutal next year too, to Pittsburgh, where, okay, it might be a little tough this year, but they fully expect Ben Roethlisberger back next year, and it's not like that roster is just going to fall to pieces. So to go from, what you know, Miami might not win a game this year, to go to Pittsburgh, where the expectation every year is the playoffs and where they have a Super Bowl pedigree, and to get the deal done in a matter of days, pretty good work. Pretty good work. And I mean, look, this kid has the potential to be an absolute impact player at a couple of different positions. You've got to use him correctly. You've got to work with him on some things. And clearly the Dolphins didn't seem to, you know, the new regime there didn't seem to view him the way some others around the league did. He only played 60% of their snaps week one, so that alone will get people's attention. But he'll be playing a lot more than 60% of the snaps in Pittsburgh. He was the 11th overall pick a year ago. He's very young. He's very cheap. And the Steelers still think they're a viable team. So to them, that makes sense. And I can see their logic. He's great. And if not just for this year, I mean, they've got him dirt cheap for, you know, 3 more years.
The other guy now we turn to, if Minkah Fitzpatrick goes for first-round pick, Jalen Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville after getting in a dust-up with Doug Marrone yesterday. What happens with him?
I mean, you look at what Laremy Tunsil fetched. You look at what Khalil Mack fetched a year ago. And Tunsil, that trade happened without a new deal. So they still have to pay him. I'm trying to get 2 ones for him if I'm Jacksonville. Now, the difference here, the caveat is this guy has – been a malcontent. This guy has clashed with the organization. You know, he's been involved in scuffles in training camp, and he's had himself, you know, disciplined numerous times. And clearly, he doesn't respect Doug Marrone. I also, you know, Doug Marrone has not exactly proven to be, you know, the most forward thinking, you know, modern sort of, you know, all-encompassing head coach. So I can understand both sides of the coin on that one. But he, on his day, any given Sunday, he is the best corner in the NFL. He doesn't do it all, you know, 16 weeks, but he does it quite a bit. But he likes to talk, and, you know, he wants to get paid. So there's some mitigating circumstances there, but if I'm Jacksonville, I'm trying to get two ones. If that's completely impossible, then I'm looking for a one, and I'm looking for a good, cheap impact player, and I'm looking for another draft pick. And I think someone will eventually meet that price.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you from the Geico Studios. On the hotline with us, CBS Sports NFL insider, friend of the show, here with us each and every week, Jason Lockenfora. Find him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. New England rolls, going back to Dolphins, I guess. 43-0, the Patriots roll. Antonio Brown, three catches early, finishes with four and a touchdown. And now we have to await word of what came out of the meeting from the league office with his accuser. What do you expect the next steps here, Jason?
You know, I don't think that there's any immediate change in his status. They've got to talk to Brown himself. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to Antonio Brown at this point, to be honest with you. I think just the mere mention of his name sets off my sinus. I don't think there's going to be a quick resolution to this. And you know, whatever they do here from both parties, how do you vet it? You know what I mean? Like, you've mm-hmm. got two people, and they're the only two people on the planet who absolutely know the tenor and nature and the totality of their relationship. It's an issue that law enforcement struggles with. For a league to get to the bottom of it, I think that's a difficult expectation or bar to reach. So, you know, we'll see if Roger Goodell and the legal team at Park Avenue, you know, determine that there is a piece of evidence or a development of some sort that they believe, is worthy of taking him off their roster, either with pay or without pay, then they'll do that. But, you know, the fact that there are no legal documents outside of a civil suit, there is no paper trail, there are no incident reports, there's no police reports, nothing else from the scene of these various events, and there are no, there's no criminal proceedings at all. That's why the NFL didn't make any preemptive rule prior to week two, and that's why I'm not so sure that won't remain the case for a while.
All right, Jason, lastly, now it's been 2 weeks and we've seen who started out fast and who started out slow. What's the biggest surprise to you so far? Either positive, team playing well, team not playing well, through the first 2 weeks. Biggest surprise for you?
Biggest surprise? I mean, Washington's defense. I thought Washington would have a top five-ish defense. I knew they had no expectations for the offense. I thought they'd be, picking somewhere between 5 and 8 at the end of the year, but I just thought it would look a lot different than it does. The way they're getting manhandled, that defense pushed around, the offense is giving them early leads and they can't come close to holding it. That's troubling. There's some individuals, John Ross finally healthy, making an impact on what looks to be a very bad Bengals team, but at least showing up and, looking the part of how high they drafted him. You know, that surprised me because, frankly, I had sort of internally written him off a little bit. And Denver's defense. I thought Denver at best would be a 7-9-ish team because the offense I expected to be putrid. But you got Vic Fangio there and you've got some great individual talent and they can't. They're not able to close. They're not getting the kind of pressure that I thought they would. Trubisky's a guy who can hold on the ball, try to extend things too long. They didn't get to him. I mean, not that he did anything of note, really, but I thought they'd turn him over, two, three times. And that part of the game hasn't been there for them, and that's, a big part of the reason why they're 0-2. So, some things like that stand out a little bit. And then just these injuries to the quarterbacks, you just don't – for them to happen this quickly in such succession, and you can really go back to Andrew Luck retiring, and just like the sort of flip-flop of sort of the paradigm of quarterbacks in the league. And then you look at who's starting for some of these teams now, it is kind of jarring.
You can follow my Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That's at Jason Lockenfora. You want jarring Jason, try being a Jets fan, watching every single game.
No thanks. Yeah. I'm not signing up for that.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys.